this is George Kaywood from Handicapping.com. Welcome to this podcast, which is the fourth and final in a series featuring Hall of Fame trainer Jack Van Berg. In January 2010, Jack was the featured guest at the Pick More Winners Handicapping Seminar Series, hosted by Mike Kratville and Johnny Ray Gomez at Horseman's Park in Omaha, Nebraska. I arranged to record the session to preserve Jack's talk and present it for all horse racing fans to hear via podcasts on Handicapping.com. So special thanks to Horseman's Park. It's one of the best simulcast facilities in the United States and features several days of live racing every summer that are fun and exciting. Be sure to take a look at their website at www.horsemanspark.com. On this podcast, Jack Van Berg talks about training horses to race at different distances, what made Bobby Frankel so special, match races, what racing can do to attract more fans, and Jack wraps up our podcast series with a handicapping angle for first-time starters that he picked up from a handicapper at the track. To start it off, Mike Kratville asks Jack about prep races and horses stretching out.
When you've got horses that have been sprinting and then you start moving them towards the route, do you start training them different, or is it just that there's a particular process of how many races you want to have under them before you move them to the longer distances?
Number one, Mike, you have to have your horse fit. But I learned a very good lesson from a guy that was a very good horseman, an old-timer called Laz Barrera, when he had Bold Forbes. And he was a speed horse, a sprinter that they didn't think would go long. He won the Derby with him, and I watched him. And that's how I trained Target. I would gallop her 2 miles, and the last second mile, I would let her go a mile, 156, just a little bit faster than the 2 minute lick, 155, 156, stretched them out. I took Bold Eagle and won the Arkansas Derby with him, and they sent him out of New Mexico where he was a sprint champion as a 2-year-old, and I trained him the same way. Stretched him out. The people who owned him didn't even come to the races when he won the Rebel, so they didn't think he'd go a distance of ground. I learned a good lesson of Suffolk Down. One year they had a little horse, I had a horse called, I think it was Texas Lad, it was Texas something, but he would stop going 3/4 mile, 5/8 mile, he'd be in front and then stop. So they called me one night about midnight, and they said they was trying to fill the races at Suffolk. They said, Jack, we need a horse to go along in this race. I said, put Texas Lad in there for us. I said, man, he can't go 3/4. I said, I can't put him in there. Well, I had a horse called Slightly Misty that I was trying to get a race for, that he'd win allowance race, that he'd win impressive. And so after 15 minutes of arguing and hollering at each other, I said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll run that horse 1.70 miles. In your race, if you write this kind of race for Slightly Misty for me. He said, okay, I'll do that for you. I run that horse. I went 3 in a row with him going 1.70 miles. He went to the front and he just galloped. So to me, every horse should be tried long. Every horse should be tried on the turf to give him a chance. That's where John Henry became famous, after he left the dirt and went to the turf. So every horse should be tried, but there's a lot of sprinters that get on the lead and get in rhythm and can go easy and go long that you wouldn't think would go long. But when they're going eyeball to eyeball, they use all their energy up. So.
Speaking of turf racing, when you've got a horse that's coming over from the dirt or the synthetic, what sort of things should we look for in the form if they've never raced on turf before to make us think that they can make that transition over from dirt or synthetic to turf?
Well, number one, in these forums, these comments anymore will tell you if the sire has got turf runners and stuff. But it used to be the old saying, if you had a flat-footed horse, he was going to be a good turf horse. That don't hold true. Trust me, I've had some that was narrow as a mule's foot. They run good on the grass. And I've had some that looked like a plot hopper, and they couldn't run on the grass. You know, so that don't hold. But generally, if you have a sire that's predominantly on the turf, but you can't go to Europe, because that's all they race for years on the turf, so you can't go by that. But if you have horses like Giant Causeway, they all run good on that, most of them, the biggest percentage of them. So that's what you got going. And of course, on the side comment over here on these racing forums, they'll tell you if the sire's got 9% or 10% first time starters on the grass. So sometimes that gives you a little key right there.
Jack, I was born and raised here in Nebraska, and 10 years ago I moved out to California. And I quickly learned that Bobby Frankel was a genius. Now, I don't know if you knew him personally, but maybe could you, because we lost him this last year or so, Did you know him personally, and also did you know what made him special and so good? And third, if you did know him, do you have a good story about him? Because I heard a lot about him when I was out there.
Well, Bobby was a good friend. He brought a horse here to Oxarby to race one time. And we went over to Iowa, I used to train for Don and Ray Bruce, and they had some old buggies over there where they lived in Perry, Iowa. Bobby, I took him with me that day when he brought that horse, and we went over there, and that was probably as much fun as we ever had laughing and him saying, what are you doing driving over here in this country and everything? But Bobby was a little hard to get to know. He was kind of sarcastic. He was a good fella. He was a good horseman. His assistant, Humberto Encino, was out there. I thought the Judmonts would have left the horses with him. They went to Belmont. Billy Mott gets them. But he's a good horseman. Bobby surrounded himself with good people, good horsemen. He could pick the places out to run them and stuff. And when he came to California to race out there, he was a good claiming trainer along with it. And he was a good horseman, but he was not an easy guy to be around. I mean, he cussed all the time. You know, I had to tell him one day, I said, I'm going to have to slap you like your mother should have done when you'd ask him questions. You know, I don't believe my dad would push you down if you cussed in front of the lady, and it wouldn't make no difference if you went around, they get the cussing. But he was a good fella and a good horseman, and that's the only bad fault he had as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, Jeff, we'd all like to see horse racing be promoted to continue for its future. What's your take on something like, I think a great promotion would be like Zenyatta versus Rachel Alexander. I mean, what's your take on like match races and that?
I don't believe in match races. You take Zenyatta and you take Rachel Alexander. Rachel Alexander's a speed horse. Zenyatta's a come-from-behind horse. So that would be a poor match race. The only good match races was just two speed horses hooked up together or two horses come behind. That's the only way. As far as racing, that's what's happened to racing. Number one is the champions. You don't go to the NASCAR to watch them guys that run 30th and 40th or 25th. You go to see Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, and those kind of people. Racing has been so selfish. It's like Alan Sheba. I begged him to race him as a five-year-old. I said it would be like Barnum and Bailey Circus. They put up $1 million anywhere you wouldn't come in the same way as Zenyatta. There is talk, and I'll tell you this much, that if Zenyatta don't get Horse of the Year, she's trained every day since the Breeders' Cup. She's worked, she's trained. And I really do believe, and I told Jerry Moss himself, right face to face, I said, Jerry, you're not any spring chicken right now. And you're talking about 3 to 4 years, 5 years, could be down the road before you see anything out of this mare. You might be gone, I might be gone, we don't know. We're up in the age where that thing's happened. But for the people to get to see her and race is what needs to be for racing. You got to have champions. You got to have people, you know, to come to see them. There's talk, and I've heard around grumble, that if she don't get Horse of the Year, I've heard that Arkansas, Charles Sella, has offered a $5 million purse for Rachel Alexander and Zenyatta to meet in the apple blossom. That kind of thing would draw the whole... Well, you'd have to fill the state of Arkansas up with all the people who would come to watch that kind of race. And this is what we need for racing as champions. And when you see these old films from Citation and those kind of horses run, Seabiscuit and them, the people who come to the race to see them. But the breeders have got so selfish in racing, the minute the horse is a three-year-old becomes good, they take him to the farm. So you don't have any champions to go to the races to watch. And this is what, you know, you go to see Kobe Bryant and them kind of guys, like the football player, that tackle plays for Nebraska, Sue. As far as I'm concerned, he's as good a tackle in college as I've ever seen play ball. He's another Zenyatta, as far as I'm concerned. I watch football a little bit, but generally I'm like a Barbie doll. I got a button in my rear. When I sit down, my eyes go shut, you know, and sleep. I can stay up all night and watch him play football. He's great, and this is what racing needs. There's a lot of stars, and the same way with Alan Sheba. I begged him to race him as a five-year-old. He would draw crowd after crowd because he had the charisma.
A button in my butt. Okay.
Well, have you ever played with a Barbie doll?
No. Come on, Johnny.
I had children, so they had Barbie dolls. They had a little button.
Maybe other types of bells.
Johnny, we've got a video later on.
Super. Thanks.
Tell you a little secret. There's an old guy that bets. That's all he does in California, bets on horses. He told me one day, he said, Jack, he said, I'm going to give you a little inside clue. This is before they put the synthetic tracks in. It works some, but not as good as it did on the dirt. But he said, if you'll see a horse that works in 46 and change out here, out of the gate, first time starter, he said, bet on him. Don't leave him out. And if you'll watch when you're handicapping, even in Florida on regular tracks, and you see a first-time starter that's been in 46 and change out of the gate, they'll be right on the dock the first time. And he taught me that. I watch for them works more than anything. If you'll see a horse, sometimes you'll see a guy train a horse, he'll go fast, and then he'll get about three slow works in him before he runs it. You got to look back on their chart and see if you can pick one of them up.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to tell your racing friends about Handicapping.com's free podcasts. This podcast was made possible with the permission of Horseman's Park, Omaha, Nebraska. www.horsemanspark.com. Copyright 2010 by Handicapping.com. All rights reserved.